Welcome to the Crossroads Idaho podcast. We exist to equip and mobilize people to live the life and mission of Jesus so that we see our valley awakened and transformed by the love of God.
Thank you, Brian. What Brian is talking about is hospitality. It's one of those gifts of the church that is to be practiced on a regular basis. Maybe you've been the recipient of someone's hospitality, you know, where they just sort of go over the top and you almost feel humbled because you think that they're treating you more special than you deserve to be treated. And we all know people like that. And yet it's a gift that is something that we all need to learn to practice. And why am I saying that? It's an important thing for me, for us as a church. But I've received hospitality from others, and I know the impact it's made on my life. Why do we mention that? Well, we're gonna talk a little bit about that today. You know, we come to Christmas, and we've had this amazing time to just stop and focus on the story itself. Pastor Barry talked to us about the Magi and the gifts they brought, but one of the things I really took away from that was the whole world is seeking Jesus. It's not just the fact that Jesus is Jewish, born in Israel, but they came from all over. And to this day, that Jewish baby is still one that people seek throughout the world. Been challenged by that. I was challenged by Pastor Anna and talking about Elizabeth and Mary and the gifts that God gave them in John the Baptist and Jesus, and yet how costly those gifts were for them, and they were for others. And in fact, when God blesses us, he blesses us so that we can bless others. I've been challenged by that. The shepherds reminded us that he often chooses the least among us to do some of the greatest things through. The last will be first, and the first will be last. We also were reminded from Ephesians 4 that all of us have a little bit of shepherd in us, and some of us have a whole lot of shepherd in us. We're gifted by God to do the work of shepherding in the church. So today you might think, well, we've talked about the shepherds, we've talked about the Magi, we talked about Mary, who's kind of the queen of the story, right? What else can you talk about? Well, I think one of the things we could talk about are the ones who have been a part of every story so far, and yet we tend to read right past when we read about them. It's the angels. I don't know how much time you've spent thinking about or talking about angels, but they seem to be in the background in our minds, but if you read the stories carefully, they're not in the background. They're a major part of the story. When we think about angels today, there's a lot of people who think about angels. I mean, I see references to angels on the back stickers of people's back windows on their cars. You go into any kind of crafty type country store and you're going to find stuff in there with angels, okay? I know that I probably just ridiculed some of your amazing artistic abilities. I didn't mean to do that, but we're fascinated with angels. Sometimes people think they're really attuned to angels and can talk to them. Be careful with that. But yeah, we know according to the Bible that angels are created beings, just like we are created beings. We're created in the image of God. We human beings are. That means that when we die, we will be resurrected humans, which means if an angel is created to be an angel and we are created to be a human, when we die, we don't become an angel. Angels are angels, and they'll stay angels. We will be human for eternity. Yes, with resurrected bodies. Yes, free from all of the entanglements of this life, but still very human. God created us that way, and he didn't make a mistake. We don't graduate to a new level. We just kind of become more fully what we were supposed to be. So this word angel, angelos, in the Greek is a messenger. It's someone who has been given the task of announcing or bringing news. It's always good when it's good news, but sometimes angels bring news that's not so good in the Bible. But angels appear from the old and from Genesis to Revelation, Old Testament and New Testament alike. They show up in the story when sin happens and they keep Adam and Eve from living in the garden. And yet they're at the end of the story announcing Christ's return and gathering around the throne singing, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was, who is, and who is yet to come." We know a lot about angels. Of course, we also know that every time a bell rings, an angel gets its wings. No, wait a minute. That's A Wonderful Life. Different story. Sorry. But angels, we think about them a lot. And then we kind of don't think about them at all. But I think we need to think about them this Christmas. Now, two of the angels in the Bible are given names. There are a lot of angels in the Bible, but only two are given names. So when someone's given a name, you ought to pay attention and figure out what their name means or why they're mentioned. The first one that comes to mind is Michael, the archangel. Arch means chief. Does that mean he's chief among all of the angels, or is he one of the chiefs among angels? You see, Revelation actually tells us in chapter 8, verse 2, that there are a total of seven archangels. They have a very important role, but the only one we really know about is Michael. What do we know about him? Well, if you go to 1 Thessalonians 4:16, this is a church that was struggling. The Apostle Paul writes a letter to the church at Thessalonica. What were they struggling with? They were struggling with walking out their faith. But one of the struggles they had was that seeing that some of their own believers, some of their loved ones, were dying. When they had this belief that Jesus would return before they died, and they were confused. And so Paul takes time in the letter of 1 Thessalonians to explain to them and to us what is happening when we die. But one of the things he says to them in 1 Thessalonians 4:16, that when Christ returns, we're going to get a trumpet. And we're going to see Jesus on the clouds. But then he says this, the one who will be announcing it is Michael the archangel. That's something I haven't really thought of before. I thought about the trumpets, bop, 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 bop. I see Jesus coming in on the clouds, but then you get this dude going, "He's here," and we're going to hear it. His name is Michael. Why him? Well, he shows up in a few other places. In Daniel chapter 10, verse 13, he is assisting another angel in a spiritual battle with the principality of Persia. Or the demon of Persia, or better known today as Iran. And he's battling the demon of Iran. Makes you wonder if he's still in a battle, doesn't it? Yeah. And so he's not just the victorious warrior who announces Jesus' return. He is a commando. He is a serious warrior. And then in Jude 1:9, he shows up again. And here, he is fighting with the devil himself over the body of Moses. Wow. He's a pretty high-ranking angel to be taking on the highest angel in heaven that decided instead of glorifying God, he would glorify himself and fell from heaven. Champion to champion fight going on here. And he takes on the leader of the evil resistance. He's tough. And then in Revelation 12, Michael shows back up again, fighting with the devil, resulting in the devil and his angels being kicked out of heaven. He's fearless. Wow. Now, there's not one specific place that says this is how it is, but there's several passages that scholars put together to determine that when Satan fell, we have phrases like a third of the stars fell from heaven, which has been the conclusion is that a third of the angels fell with him. Wow, that's interesting. You know, angels actually choose as to whether they will glorify God or not. Angels are created beings, but they have choice. Because a third of them chose not to glorify God and were kicked out of heaven. And it was Michael who did the battle. Wow. Basically, Michael is the director of heaven's secret service. All right? That's Michael. That's one of the angels mentioned. Those are all interesting stories. Those are interesting passages to think about what's actually going on. You see, sometimes you guys, we tend to think that what we can touch and see and feel is what's real. But if you read the Bible, what we discover is that there's a whole lot more going on beyond what we can see and touch and feel. And that's reality. So when we come to the stories of the angels at Christmas, it maybe would be important for us to stop and consider why they're a part of the story. They're not there by mistake, which leads us to the only other angel who is mentioned in Scripture by name, and his name is Gabriel. Gabriel only shows up three times in the Old and New Testament. So in Daniel is where he shows up the first time, the book of Daniel. Daniel, the prophet who is in exile in Babylon, he's had amazing dreams. And he actually gains prominence in Babylon and is able to speak to Nebuchadnezzar because of his insights. It was actually Gabriel who gave him those insights. When we look at Daniel chapter 8 and 9, what we see is that the angel Gabriel reminds Daniel that God is with him. He also reminds him to stay strong in the Lord when everything is coming against him. So he's an encourager. He also explains to Daniel the meaning of current events. But the final message that Gabriel gives Daniel is this: and the Messiah is coming. So now he shows up two times more. The first time he shows up is with Zechariah. Depending on the translation you have, NLT, NIV, some of the other ESVs, it is Gabriel, though some of them might not mention Gabriel. We've already read the stories this Christmas season, but I'd like for us to reread part of it and notice this time the angels. Luke chapter 1 is where we're going to read, first of all, verses 8 through 13. Here we go. One day, Zechariah was serving God in the temple, for his order was on duty that week. As was the custom of the priests, he was chosen by lot to enter the sanctuary of the Lord and burn incense. While the incense was being burned, a great crowd stood outside praying. While Zechariah was in the sanctuary, an angel of the Lord appeared to him. This is Gabriel, standing to the right of the incense altar. Zechariah was shaken and overwhelmed with fear when he saw him. But the angel said, "Don't be afraid, Zechariah. God has heard your prayer. Your wife Elizabeth will give you a son, and you're to name him John." What was Zechariah's response? Overwhelmed with fear. Now, when we go back to Michael and realize who he was, I can imagine being afraid of Michael. Any one of us in our right mind would be afraid of Michael. But what about Gabriel? I mean, this guy's announcing of Christ's birth. This is an awesome job. You think he might be a little bit of a happier looking angel, like Clarence? But he gives precise instruction about John the Baptist, who would pave the way for Jesus. Hold on to that thought. Let's move a little bit further in the chapter where Gabriel shows up again in verses 26 through 32. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a village in Galilee, to a virgin, about 13-year-old girl named Mary. She was engaged to be married to a man, Joseph, and a descendant of King David. Gabriel appeared to her and said, "Greetings, favored woman. The Lord is with you." Confused and disturbed, Mary tried to think what the angel could mean. "Don't be afraid, Mary," the angel told her, "for you found favor with God. You'll conceive and give birth to a son, and you'll name him Jesus. He'll be very great and will be called the Son of the Most High." Zechariah was terrified, startled, gripped with fear. Mary was greatly troubled. Now, we know, according to the Christmas story, that both Joseph and the shepherds were also visited by angels, but there is not a reference to Gabriel. We don't know if it was Gabriel. It could have been another angel. There are lots of them. But Gabriel shows up by name three times. So what do we notice? The first thing I notice about Gabriel is his focus on Jesus. It seems if we go back and look at Michael, his focus is on keeping heaven safe. And he takes on the devil. We don't have that happening with Gabriel. Gabriel is the one tasked with the news of the coming Messiah. Now, if I had to choose between those two jobs, I'd take Gabriel's job any old day. I mean, don't you want to be a bearer of good news? It's not good. It's not fun to be the bearer of bad news. And Gabriel gets that job. There's something special about him. His presence scared people. Now, there is a description of Gabriel given in the Bible, and by none other than the one where he shows up, Daniel. Daniel describes him this way in chapter 10. He was a man. Stop. Right there, we know that Gabriel was, at least appeared to be, a man. He didn't say creature. He didn't say alien. Apparently, he only has one head, one body. He looked like a man. And he was dressed in linen with a belt of fine gold from Uphaz around his waist. His body. He had a body. Arms, legs, appendages. His face was like lightning. His eyes like flaming torches. His arms and legs like the gleam of burnished bronze. And his voice like the sound of a multitude. That's the best description we have right there of Gabriel. But even in that, he brought fear for both Zechariah and Mary. He spoke for God, not his own. He didn't have his own message. He didn't interject anything other than what God told him to say. Now, let's go back to this idea that Scripture suggests that one-third of the angels fell because they chose not to glorify God. Angels have wills. They have a choice. Gabriel chose to be focused on Jesus. I'm challenged by that. I could choose the same thing. I could choose today for Jesus to be my sole focus. Which also suggests that any message that comes to us in an angelic way that is contrary to the word of God and what God has already said is not a good angel. It's one of the one-third, not the two-thirds. Be aware. Be aware. He also challenged resistance. I love the way Anna pointed out the difference between Mary's response to the angel and Zechariah's response to the angel. Mary was curious. It was, okay, but how are you going to do that? In other words, I believe you, but how are you going to do that? See, that's a wonderful way to respond to God. Okay, I believe you, but can you let me in on the way you're going to do this? That's curiosity. Zechariah, on the other hand, was, I don't believe you. Oh, really? Okay. So because you doubted, you won't be able to speak until John is born. And guess what? He couldn't. Don't argue with an angel. So, his words were reassuring words. They were good news to those who listened. He brought the gospel. See, the word gospel is euangelion, which also means good news. So, okay, that's interesting. We learned a little something today about Michael and about Gabriel. Maybe we'll slow down next time we read the Christmas story and notice when the angels show up. But is the goal of our time together around the word just simply learning something new? No. I mean, there's nothing wrong with learning something new. I love aha moments. I love to walk the land. I love to study the word. I love to read the context of scripture. I love it when I see something for the very first time and think, what? Where did this come from? My problem is that sometimes I say that about a verse that I've already underlined. But, you know, I guess that's why the word is living. You don't just learn it and go, okay, I'm done. No, you keep coming back to it going, what? There's another layer to this? Right? So learning is a good thing. But is the goal just to be intellectually stimulated by the story? No, it's not. If this knowledge doesn't somehow get into my bones and change my heart, then what's the purpose? So I need to dig a little bit deeper. So what else does the Bible tell us about angels that might help me understand a little bit better? First of all, in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 14, angels are described as ministering spirits sent by God to those who will inherit salvation. Have you ever been ministered to by God? In moments of difficulty, times of chaos, struggles with anxiety, and then in some unexplained way, you're reminded that God has you, and you'll be okay. According to this verse, perhaps there's angelic work going on there. Psalm 34:7 says, "The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him, and he delivers them." Encamps and delivers. So Idaho is like the number one state for outdoor activity in the lower 48. Did you know that? Yeah. How many of you have camped before? Okay, if you're watching on camera, that's like 90%. Now, my kids tell me that we don't camp, we glamp. I remind them it's because we're old. I can't sleep on the ground anymore. There's nothing fun about that. Or the next day. So now I have a well-made mattress in my enclosed trailer with a heat button and an air conditioning button and a microwave. Because, I mean, you know, you got to rough it, right? I even have an awning that goes out with a button so that I can sit in the great outdoors and not get sunstroke. Okay, so maybe I don't camp. So we might want to read this verse and go, oh, isn't that cool? The angels encamp around us, so they go camping with us. They bring sticks and marshmallows. No, that's not what it means. This word encamp is a military term in the original Hebrew language. It means this: someone who comes and sets up a military camp between me and the enemy, on the line for the purpose of attacking the enemy on my behalf. Boom! That's camping. They don't bring marshmallow sticks, they bring big sticks. And they do that for you. And they do that for me. And God sends them because he cares about you.
Praise God.
Maybe it's important to know about angels. Yeah. Psalm 91, verses 11 through 12 says, God commands angels to protect people wherever they go. Have you ever had a sense of an angel's protection over you? Have you ever made it out of a situation that you were convinced you shouldn't have made it out of? I can just imagine the day of the Lord when we all get to heaven. We're going to look for our angels. They're all on the beach in a relaxed chair going, whoo, I'm so glad you made it. I'm exhausted. The Bible, that's not me. I'm not making this stuff up. This is the Bible. You don't believe this stuff? Talk to the Bible. Acts 8:26, God sends angels to bring messages to guide people in their ministry. You go back and you look at that story. Philip was one of the disciples of Jesus. An angel came to Philip and said, I want you to go down on the road that leads to Gaza. And on that road, you're going to find a chariot. And in that chariot, you're going to find a eunuch, an Ethiopian eunuch, a high-ranking official from Egypt who's been up here for probably Passover. And I want you to come alongside the chariot and see what you can do. So he does. And sure enough, there's the chariot. There's the eunuch. And what's the eunuch doing? He's got a scroll, a Torah scroll. He's reading from the scroll. And Philip says, hey, what are you doing? I'm reading from the scroll. What are you reading? I don't know. I don't understand this stuff. He said, do you want me to explain? He said, yeah, come on up in here. He does. He understands it. He says, well, what must I do? Can I get baptized? He goes, yeah, there's a puddle. Let's stop there. And he does, and he goes on his way. It was an angel who told Philip to do that. And one time I was teaching down there in Africa, and one of the fellow professors was from Egypt. I said, I got to test this theory with you. I said, is it true that the Coptic Christians of today, which make up about 9 million Christians in Egypt, is it true that they see their spiritual father as the Ethiopian eunuch? He said, absolutely. He's the one that brought the gospel to Egypt. Isn't that great? Philip just did what an angel told him to do. I wonder how many times a helpful little suggestion that came our way that helped us to minister to somebody else maybe was supernatural, not natural. Stay open to the Lord's leading. You never know. You never know. And then Hebrews chapter 13 reminds us to always show hospitality. That's what we were talking about this morning, Brian. Hospitality. Why? Because in so doing, some have entertained angels without realizing it. In the process of just treating people like they deserve because they're loved by God, I might encounter a supernatural messenger without even realizing it. Huh. I remember a time recently where I was actually treated like an angel. It's embarrassing, but I'm going to tell you anyways. I've already told the story here some weeks back, but I'm going to tell it again because it's worth embarrassing myself twice. We were visiting in Portland with our daughter, who is a producer for Bible Project. And some of you have seen what they call classroom Bible Project, where they study subjects or books of the Bible. So she's behind the camera. And so she was taking us on the set and showing us around. And if you've ever seen it, you'll know that at the end of the table there, that's where Tim Mackey usually sits. So Dory's trying to be Tim Mackey here. But after we did the whole tour, they invited us to join them for lunch. And there's about 200 employees there. I don't know, maybe 100 were there for lunch. And we came into this big room, and on these tables that you see there, there are big boxes of these gourmet sandwiches wrapped in paper, cut in two. You could come in, you put salad on your plate, and they use china. Okay, Dory and I were the only ones in the whole place over 40, okay? And like, these guys are serious, man. They do lunch together, you know? And I look back, Tim Mackey is about six people behind me, and we're just standing in line. And so I'm being the old guy here. I got my china plate with my silverware, trying to figure, okay, I'm going to put it in my pocket, or I got the napkin here, and I put salad and all kinds of goopy salad dressing on it. It was really good, so I put a little bit more on. And then I got over to the sandwiches, and I pulled up one half of the sandwiches because, you know, it's probably, I should watch my weight, eat more salad than, but the paper hadn't been cut all the way through. So when I pulled up the one, the other sort of came with it and then fell on my plate and turned it upside down, and the salad went here and there and all over the floor. And china makes a noise when it hits the ground. The whole place stops. You know, a lot of dads try to humiliate their daughters. It's a gift we have. I actually did it on accident. And I looked at the face of my daughter. I could just see the shades of red, you know, and that thought of never bring an elder to lunch again, you know. But what I experienced was something altogether different. Was all of these young people gathering around me going, oh, this happens all the time. And they're down on the floor, their hands and knees, wiping it up, cleaning it up, giving me napkins to wipe myself off. And in like a matter of seconds, they put a plate back in my hand with salad and dressing on it and a sandwich. So I didn't do it again. And I'm so embarrassed. And they tried their hardest to make me not feel embarrassed. I thought, they just treated me like I was an angel. I got a taste of what it means to show hospitality that day, so that everybody around me feels like they have great value. As Brian reminded us, we can do that this Christmas, right? Maybe you've received, been on the receiving end of something like that. You know, there's a book that I've been reading called Unreasonable Hospitality by Will Guidara. He says, people will forget what you do. They'll forget what you said, but they'll never forget how you made them feel. I'll never forget how they made me feel. Huh. Isn't that interesting? What if I set my table always with the idea of what if? And I don't just mean a physical table. You know, he's prepared a table before me in the presence of my enemies. It's everybody I welcome around my circle of influence. This reminds me, though, if I'm on the lookout knowing that God sends messengers, then I need to make sure that it could be an angel. But I also have to be careful that I'm not listening to the negative voices, because if I'm listening to the negative voices in my life, I'm letting negative voices come around my table, or people who are critical, or people who are mean. I might be listening to the one-third of the angels, not the two-thirds. So do not give up, you know, hospitality. For in so doing, some have entertained angels unaware. Well, so we know that God listens to us. He cares about us. And often the way he does this is with supernatural beings called angels. It's not just some theory. It's biblical. You're like, well, I don't know. Okay, I get it. But be aware. Be aware. The angels of God always give God the glory. That's what they care about. You know, in fact, there are some cases throughout the Bible when angels show up, and what do people do? They bow. And angels of God always do this. Get up off your feet. Do not bow to us, only bow to God. Angels don't want glory. That challenges me. I can struggle with wanting glory. Angels, no. God. God focused. They live to glorify God, not themselves. And as we were talking about this week as a team, Michael pointed out, he says, you know, Jim, think about Jesus. The whole story of Jesus. Angels show up at his birth. Angels show up to minister to him in the temptation in the wilderness. Angels show up in the Garden of Gethsemane and minister to him. Angels show up and announce the resurrection. And at the end, when he ascends into heaven, the angels show up and say, hey, what are you guys all staring at the sky for? Get back to work. Angels are a part of Jesus' story. If they're a part of his story, why wouldn't they be a part of yours or mine? We might not see him. We might not always recognize him, but maybe it would be good if we started assuming that there is more going on than meets the eye. And God, one of the ways he ministers to you is with angels. So how do I apply this? What do I do with this? I think of the shepherds. We bring you good news of great joy, mega joy. Do I have mega joy? Not the average joy, the mega joy. Have I allowed this message to change who I am? Do I realize that angels are still present? We know that in Scripture, they show up all the way to the end. Are they a part of my own story? Could I look back and say, you know, I think God was actually involved in that situation. I think God actually rescued me in that situation. And it could have been an angelic presence. With that said, I need to be reminded that one-third of the angels fell because they chose not to glorify God. I got to be careful about the voices I listen to. Because anything that suggests something about God that does not line up with this is not an angel I should be listening to. So be aware. But I also need to remember that what angels said would happen in the Bible did happen. And therefore, what they say will happen is still on its way. Because God gave angels the amazing task of announcing what is yet to come. And what is yet to come is Christ's return. We can count on it. So, what messenger will I invite to my table? Whose voices am I allowing to influence my life? Are they good news messengers aligned with the truth of God's word? Bring them around the table. Am I listening to God and his voice? Am I expecting him to speak? Christmas makes us aware there is always more going on than meets the eye. What if God were to open our spiritual eyes this Christmas so that we could see a whole lot more than the tinsel and the gifts? Maybe he'd like to give us an insight into what's really happening on our behalf. But as I said to the team, as interesting as this is, I don't really, as a person, know how to make an application for you. So I have one question. What is the Spirit saying to you? What is God grabbing your attention about this morning in the Word? How is the Spirit challenging you today? Are you open to the voice of God? Jesus, we thank you for Christmas. We thank you for the amazing story that not just gives us hope because of your coming, but hope because of your return. Lord, we're made aware as we read the stories, as we read the Word of God, that there is much, much more going on behind the scenes. So I'm reminded this morning that there are some here today who are grieving. Would you send ministering angels to their hearts today? I'm aware, Lord, that there are some who need courage to do what you've called them to do. They already know what they need to do, but they're afraid. And would you send angels there to encourage them, to remind them that God is with them? I'm fully aware, Lord, there are some who are on the enemy line and they see the enemy and the enemy looks huge. And they're not sure they're going to survive it. Would you send your angels to set up a military camp between them and the enemy and rout the enemy on their behalf? Do a work that is so miraculous and so clear that they can do nothing other than give God glory for it. Thank you, Lord, that you created us to be human, but you also created angels to be angels. That they actually are involved in our lives at your bidding. Thank you for caring about us that much. Thank you for Christmas. We love you. We worship you. May you have your way in our hearts. In our lives today. And all of God's people said, Amen. Well, Merry Christmas to you. But keep your eyes open. Let's just see what God might have. for all of us. God bless.